Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Williams on third and long. It is complete. Odunze inside the 10 for the end zone touchdown. Williams connecting with the second year receiver out of Washington, Rome Odunze, 28-yard pass play. And the Bears reach the end zone on their first possession.
That's when the game was tied at 7. Do you remember that time?
I vaguely remember that.
I was like, oh, the Bears answered. We got ourselves a game. And then even at 21-14, I was like, oh, it's only 21-14.
But there was too much time left on the clock.
Third yada, and nine? Yada, yada. It's 52-21 to end the game.
That is a very good use of yada, yada, yada.
This is Brahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. That was courtesy of Fox Sports. And Caleb Williams was not the problem for me in this game. The biggest problem was the atrocious defense, which we discussed for an hour as to how to improve. That was at 10 o'clock. If you missed that, I strongly recommend you go back and listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. As far as what we did see out of Caleb Williams, and now that the All-22 is out, you typically get a lot more information coming out on social media and YouTube. People have watched the videos. I thought he felt more comfortable. I felt like he was more in rhythm based on the rhythm of the play and the timing of the play that we saw. I did not think that he was as much the issue. Yes, he got sacked 4 times. But as I mentioned, so did Baker Mayfield last night. It's just we're going to look at it more because it's him. But were they bad sacks? Were they stupid sacks? I didn't feel like that was the case necessarily. I didn't even think he was holding on to the ball that much longer in those points like he had in previous games. So for me, still an improvement when you consider how to put it all together.
Winning covers up a lot of warts. I think that's what it comes down to. And because they didn't win, and also the way they got embarrassed, the warts are just out here in one of those mirrors, you know, where it's close up and the light, you turn the lights on around the mirror, like a makeup mirror. It's just like, I can't. Like, you want to back away from the mirror. That's what it's like looking at the Bears right now.
Yeah, I mean, and he looked decisive, like very decisive. The first drive 2 weeks in a row, as Layla pointed out, but like 3rd and 9, touchdown pass to Rome Odunze. There was the 28-yarder, the 3rd and 4 to Zacchaeus. The second quarter touchdown drive, which was Caleb's 6-yard touchdown pass to Rome Odunze, made it 21-14 Detroit at the time, right around the time I was putting $40 on the Bears to win the game. There was on that drive, though, there was a 21-yard pass to Odunze, a 15-yarder to Rome as well. 8 yards to Manungai, and Caleb using his legs well, an 8-yard rush as well. So, yeah, there were things specifically, as they just kind of laid out, that really stood out to me. I will have to ask Tim Jenkins about this. I think the sack question is a great question, Layla. There was one in the fourth quarter that he took that I thought was bad. Pinpoint. You know what I'm talking about?
It was middle of the field. The pocket collapsed around him.
Yeah, and he's just looking. And
that was probably the one.
Yeah, he could have thrown it away or ran out of bounds, and he did neither. So that's the only one with my eyes that I saw was a bad sack. But we'll ask Tim about that later.
The Lions did a good job of containing him throughout the game and not letting him get outside the pocket.
They saw what he did against Minnesota.
When they did flush him outside the pocket, that's when the interception happened. So that's something else to talk to Tim Jenkins about. But we talk about it amongst ourselves first because Ben Johnson discussed it with the media yesterday. Here was his take after he rewatched the tape.
Well, yeah, I did see significant growth. It's not perfect yet. There's still a number of plays where our eyes aren't quite in the right position, or we're holding on to the ball just a tick longer than what we're coaching. But I did see tremendous growth in terms of going through the progression. There were a few times there where we had to get to number 3 or number 4 in the read, and he was trusting his feet and his footwork and was able to get there. So I did think he got better from week one to week two. I'm encouraged by what I saw, and I'm hopeful that we'll continue to see another leap here this week.
Here's the other thing, is let's go back to Wednesday of last week where Caleb Williams didn't speak to the media and Mark Grody personally until 6:30 when he was scheduled to speak at 2 or 3, right? It was 3.
Yeah, it was right around between 2:30 and 3, but yeah.
So, okay, 3 o'clock, he doesn't speak until 6:30. Then we hear that he was working on stuff, which is a completely normal answer. People get tied up at work. So that makes sense. But the implication is there's extra work to do. And we see reports about his car being at the facility late and all this. What if he hadn't gone out there on the first drive and scored a touchdown? Then you're probably asking, well, was this work worth it? So it's nice that not only are they able to show the work with 3 scoring drives where they did score 3 touchdowns out of, unfortunately, 13, but there was still that level of, this looks better than it did the week before.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I think the confidence level in watching these first 2 games based on, yes, the first drive in each of those games, that goes a long way because of what you're so used to seeing. You had never seen Caleb Williams lead a game opening drive for a touchdown. Now you've seen it 2 weeks in a row. And then just the understanding of what it has looked like compared to what it looks like now. And I think Ben Johnson summed it up perfectly. He still has work to do. There's a long ways to go, but there was growth. And I think as long as we see growth, especially here in the first half of the season, we're working towards something which Ben Johnson can get excited about, which can be productive on the field. And now you're talking about an offense that looks more like what Ben Johnson is used to running.
Yeah. And we know the areas in this game, where things had to have been better. Now, he was put behind the 8-ball with the 2nd and 32 in the second quarter. Again, when it's a 7-point game, Lions are up 14-7. You had the Dahlman hold, the Braxton Jones face mask would set it up, but he didn't throw it away. I think he was, you know, I think, Marshall, because we and I kind of went back on for, I think he was in between. And this is still like bad play by Caleb. He was in between wanting to make a play and throwing the ball away. Does that make sense?
He saw daylight and he saw the window and the window was closing and he could have just thrown it away, but you make this, that's part of quarterbacking. A bigger part, people would argue, than the physical tools aspect of it is just the ability to process and make quick decisions.
Right. That was one time where he did not make a quick decision. And then the other one was the 3-and-out to begin the second half.
Well, with the penalty.
Yeah. But he did have a bad pass to Alamide Zaccheaus on that particular, I think it was, 3rd and 9.
Did not hit him in stride.
Threw behind him. And I know I'm just being nitpicky for the sake of it, but these are real things.
That's not nitpicky, though. Yeah. That's a real play that happened in a clutch situation when you're talking about 3rd and 9. The play was designed to get a first down. If he hits him, they get the first down.
Right, and penalties are forgiven, or the penalty by the false start by Swift to begin the drive.
Well, keep in mind the phrase that was told, reported. You know, Caleb Williams said in the pregame of the first game against the Vikings, be Superman when I need to be Superman. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a double-edged sword when he says that, because number one, he's thinking he has to be at times. Or number two, I'm sure he's thinking about what got him to the NFL to be the first overall pick, which was in college, being Superman relative to everybody else. Except you're with a whole other, you know, world of villains and heroes here.
This is a defense.
This is a whole other comic universe.
A lot of anti-heroes.
You've just entered where the skill sets are a little different. But there are still going to be those times that kick in where he's going to think, I can make this happen. And then the league tells you, no, you can't.
I guess he's learning that. And you know what,
and Kerry Joseph is like, I'll take this. Thank you.
Yeah, I want him to still have those moments. That's why we went back and forth on the interception play yesterday. Like, there still is a play. Like, every time Caleb tries to make a play and it's an interception or it's a mistake or whatever, we can't be like, well, you just got to make the simple plays. You just got to take your checkdowns. No. A big part of the reason why he was drafted number one overall and everybody loved Caleb Williams is his ability to do the special. So I see where he's a little bit conflicted and where everybody's a little bit conflicted.
Yes and no. Like, I get it, but at the same time, you need to learn how to crawl before you walk. And when I think about Ryan Poles saying there were steps skipped in training camp last year, and I'm not saying he talks like that. I'm just exaggerating the comment.
Well, while I agree
that, but when
that,
I
yeah.
say that, is that he has to learn how to be able to check down on simple plays to move the chains, get the yard so you can continue the drive. Yes, you absolutely need to learn how to do that because you didn't do it enough last year.
And he didn't do it. That third and nine that you just mentioned.
The Zacchaeus play.
That is the perfect example of, hey, just hit that guy and we get to keep, you'll get a chance to put the cape on, step into the phone booth, but you can't do that if you're down 52-21.
You get the cape put on you when you're consistent.
He's not trying to be special on that play. He just missed the receiver on that play.
Let's go back to the comment though. When we talk about be Superman. Yeah. What does that mean to you? Because to me, that just means
taking a chance downfield, taking like touchdowns instead of checkdowns. Like, there's a guy open in the middle of the field. Yeah, you could pass it to whomever, but he sees a guy downfield. Maybe he thinks he can make a special play. I don't want to take that away from him.
That's not how I see it, though. I see the Superman thing as him just being in a position to win the game at the end of the game because it takes such ferocity to be able to drive down the field with a minute left.
No, I thought being Superman for him was rolling. Like when the play breaks down, you get to cook.
Right, at any point in the game, not just the fourth quarter.
And that's what I thought it meant, because that's frankly what he and a lot of other college quarterbacks before him did.
Right.
Yeah, like fixing the busted play is how a lot of guys win draft position and they make money in the league.
And what is
I'm not saying
away.
That's his entire skill set. I am not saying that. But that's what I thought be Superman meant.
And what has never gone away for Caleb Williams and won't for the next 7 to 10 years is the arm talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to waste that arm talent. When a guy has the capability of making any throw on a football field, eventually you want to see him make every throw on the football field.
But first I want to see him to make the basic throw. Just make
Okay, but is there ever a place then for you guys
yes.
for him to make the special play?
Yeah.
Can he not take a chance? Can he not go for the home run ball instead of a check down on a second and seven?
Let me put it to you this way. Did you see what Jared Goff did on Sunday?
Yeah, he threw for 334 yards and 5 touchdowns.
How many quote-unquote special plays did Jared Goff make?
Oh, he made
and
a couple,
52 points.
He made a 64-yard pass to Jamison Williams. He made a 44-yard pass to Jamison Williams.
Williams had
those are pretty big plays.
The secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that secondary was out of place on those plays. I don't think
not the
he went for
line.
It though. Those are examples big time
plays. And also
plays.
He just went after Amon-Ra a bunch because he knew that he could beat
the
one-on-one with Tyreek.
And that's what I want to see with certain receivers, but what I'm saying is right now with Ben Johnson, the way he designs it up, the whole thing about yards after the catch, ball placement to guys who are 15 yards or less away. Can you do that?
Put your receiver in a position to succeed.
That's the
I got
basis.
You. No, I agree with that.
Are you kidding, though? But also the Superman play is scheme up the play where your arm talent is better than everybody else's in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Take the shots downfield. And they're not doing that. Like, a lot of what Jared Goff did was in structure, too. But, you know, I really liked the touchdown play to Roma Dunze. I thought that was not the easiest thing in the world to do. There was a half motion there. The design of it was smart. Dunze comes inside. He gets to the quarterback. He drops back Caleb. Roma Dunze then motions back in front of him. They're in sync running together. That was by design. But that's a Superman type of play. Like, there can be Superman type plays, but structure wise, let it rip. Like, I want that guy to be able to throw a deep ball and do it confidently. I want two shots a game.
Yeah, he took a shot. I think it was to Roma Dunze, the double coverage ball where he overthrew him. But I mean, that's taking a shot. I guess, yes, I want him to take the shots down the field. I do. But until you're making the basic plays, I'm not really that is not at the forefront for me, because move the chains. Move the freaking chains. Three and outs stink.
Oh, yeah.
Especially move the chains.
In the second half, 2 weeks in a row. Hey, I wrote it down. Another question for Tim. You brought it up. Ben's play calling. How conducive, so far, through two games, has Ben's play calling been for Caleb Williams in this offense?
Yeah, that's a good point. We are waiting for Tim Jenkins. He's at 1 o'clock today, and he just issued his breakdown. You can watch it on YouTube. It's going to take you longer than the time between now and when he comes on our
show. We gotcha.
Yeah. So also, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas is the place to be for football fans September 26th through the 29th. Spiegel and Holmes will be broadcasting live that Friday and Saturday from Stadium Swim. Then we'll be staying over the weekend for the Monday reaction show after the Chicago and Las Vegas game. Our friends Melissa and Austin from US 99 will also be there on that Friday morning. So join the Score for an incredible weekend, September 26th through 29th at Circa in Las Vegas, Chicago's football headquarters. Log on to CircaLasVegas.com to reserve your stay today. Now, we talked a lot about the performance of the Bears in certain situations, but then there's also that how they got to the situation part. So let's talk about that next. Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.